This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. Years from now, as future journalists and historians work to make sense of our turbulent times, they will find a 21st century internet marked by distrust. Distrust in public health officials, scientific data, academia, well-meaning civil servants, media outlets, Hollywood, just about every institution that once conferred authority. Of course, that virus of distrust also makes it hard in the here and now, especially when the narrative of our times has been grotesquely distorted by conspiracy theories and the online scoundrels who propound them. Chief among them, the mother of all crackpot communities, QAnon.
Which essentially believes the entirety of the Democratic Party and much of Hollywood are conspiring and running an underground pedophile sex trafficking ring.
Recent searches on YouTube turning up bogus claims about Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg is a pedophile.
The QAnon community believes that Donald Trump knows all about this cabal, is fighting them behind the scenes with the assistance of a group of military intelligence officials known as Q Team.
If you find any of this hard to follow, well, that's kind of the point. The supposed conspiracy is portrayed as so elastic and so sprawling that all of Donald Trump's perceived political enemies can be easily integrated into the supposed plot. And because the conspiracy could, and indeed has, led extremists to carry out criminal or violent acts, the FBI has labeled QAnon as a potential terror threat. Alex Kaplan, senior researcher at Media Matters for America, has been tracking the slew of crimes tied to the group.
QAnon has been tied to multiple acts of violence.
Down in Tucson, Arizona, where a guy was in an armed standoff with police last year because he believed there was a child sex trafficking camp that was really a homeless encampment.
There have been multiple attempted kidnappings tied to QAnon supporters.
In July, a 24-year-old man was charged in the shooting death of a reputed mob boss. Written on his hand in the courtroom were QAnon symbols.
A man held up the Hoover Dam who was armed, who was a QAnon supporter. I believe there was another man in Michigan who's expressed support for QAnon who threatened to kill the governor of Michigan and the state's attorney general. This has been an issue.
It's tempting to write off this bizarro subculture as a marginal freak show, but its grassroots activity has begun to win support from major figures in the Republican Party. In fact, by Kaplan's count, Donald Trump has amplified QAnon Twitter accounts at least 185 times. Kaplan says the president's not-so-subtle endorsement has helped pave the way for at least 13 QAnon-connected congressional candidates who competed in primaries and will be on the ballot this November.
To just name a few, one in Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, came in first in her primary, but she still has to go to a primary runoff because she didn't reach 50%. She has expressed strong support over the years for QAnon, has written about it on social media, saying things like, oh, great post by Q today. She's tweeted the QAnon slogan, where we go one, we go all, has talked about it in videos.
Q is a patriot. We know that for sure. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know who Q is, but I'm just going to tell you about it because I think it's something worth listening to.
She is favored to be elected. And there's been others like Joe Ray Perkins.
Hello, my name is Joe Ray Perkins. I'm honored and blessed to be the U.S. Senate nominee in Oregon on the Republican ticket for 2020.
And she is very vocal in her support of QAnon.
Where we go one, we go all. I stand with President Trump. I stand with Q and the team. Thank you, Anons, and thank you, Patriots. And together, we can save our republic.
Earlier in July, she posted a video taking an oath in support of QAnon. There have been multiple candidates that have made it in California. One, for example, literally has the QAnon slogan in their profile. That person is on the ballot in November.
You mentioned the oath. Tell me more about the oath.
Yeah, it was something that Q posted a few weeks ago. I believe it's like a military oath normally. The only difference is that at the end, you give the QAnon slogan, where we go one, we go all. Maybe the most prominent person that's posted a video of themselves taking this oath is former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
Where we go one, we go all.
Where we go one, we go all.
God bless America.
God bless America.
This is General Michael Flynn, former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, fired by Trump at the beginning of the administration, but now defended by Trump, and someone who himself is subject of some of the QAnon conspiracy theories.
I know family members of his have supported QAnon in the past. QAnon supporters see him as like a big player. They basically love him. I saw multiple QAnon supporters very excited when he posted that video.
You name some of the true believers. Let's talk about the Q light candidates who just appear to be throwing red Qs to the base.
Yeah, so maybe rather than being true believers, they seem to see QAnon supporters, the conspiracy theory, is kind of a way to reach some type of political benefit. And there's one other candidate in California, her name's Erin Cruz, that made it to November that's been pretty open about this. She told NBC last year that basically you can't ignore QAnon people. They're kind of a base of groaters, just like everyone else. And there's been others like Lauren Boebert in Colorado.
Republican Lauren Boebert pulled off a stunning upset by taking down five-term Congressman Scott Tipton. And her path to victory was straight out of the far-right playbook.
She has gone on a show run by a QAnon supporter and made positive comments about QAnon.
Do you know about the Q movement? Are you familiar with what that is?
I am familiar with that. So that's more my mom's thing. She's a little fringe.
Do you think Q is a bad thing or is it just sort of, I mean, what's your opinion?
No, honestly, everything that I've heard of Q, I hope that this is real because it only means America is getting stronger and better and people are returning to conservative values.
It kind of looks like she was going to use it as much as she could to win the nomination. And now she's trying to backtrack and disassociate herself now that she's made it to the general election.
I think that's right. There's a feeling maybe in Republican primaries that the supporters maybe can be a political benefit. But the flip side of that is if you reach the general, suddenly maybe they're not so beneficial and they can be a liability. You have seen Lauren Boebert trying to distance herself from QAnon since she won the primary. She's called it like fake news and said that QAnon can mean different things to different people and has said she doesn't follow it. But again, she had gone on the show and made those comments. She'd gone on another QAnon show. She apparently seems to have a YouTube account that subscribes to QAnon channels. So there is a flip side to this.
And what about the Republican National Committee? When they have a QAnon friendly or QAnon adjacent candidate suddenly on the ticket in November, are they telling these people to tamp it down, walk back your association because the party itself doesn't wish to be tarred with whatever negatives that the QAnon would pose?
Not really, from what I've seen. After Boebert won her nomination, people started pointing out the QAnon stuff pretty much immediately. And pretty soon after that, the NRCC, National Republican Congressional Committee, I believe, put out a press release saying something like, in response to this, they did whataboutism. So they pointed out, like, what about Democrats in Russia, rather than confront this directly. And like in Oregon, with Joe Ray Perkins, for example, we saw, I believe, the Oregon Republican Party. It wasn't like a full throttle endorsement, like they wasn't enthusiastic, but they still supported her. So I think that kind of goes to show that there hasn't been a strong denunciation.
4 years ago, we watched our coverage of Donald Trump's serial outrages and ravings amplify his message in a way that he could never have done without that just wall-to-wall coverage. Many have argued that the press invented the Trump presidency, that he is our fault. So if we call a thing by its name and QAnon candidates for their conduct, do we merely succeed in transmitting the virus?
So there's a concern about amplification of misinformation, disinformation, and conspiracy theories, whether by amplifying it, you're making the problem worse. But a tipping point would be where the benefits of warning about this, trying to let people know that this is an issue, outweigh the concerns about amplification. And in my opinion, we are well beyond the tipping point on this, well beyond it. QAnon's been around for a few years. There have been so many people that have embraced it or at least hinted at it that you have to talk about it. You have to point this out. You have to warn about it. We'll see if any of them make it to Congress. I should mention that there are some QAnon supporters that are already serving in state legislatures around the country. So I think you do need to point it out. I think we're well beyond the point where it would be a concern to amplify it by talking about it.
Alex, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Alex Kaplan is a senior researcher with Media Matters for America, a progressive organization dedicated to identifying misinformation and disinformation in the right-wing press. That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Loewinger, Leia Fetter, John Hanrahan, Zandra Ellen, and Eloise Blondio, with more help from Eleanor Nash. And our show was edited this week by executive producer Katya Rogers. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Josh Hahn and Sam, look who just had a baby girl, Bear. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.